Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Chode House. This is Ethan, Dee, and Snow. Episode number 7. We're talking about horror movies and how good they are and why I fucking love horror movies.
And I'm a big pussy.
And he's a pussy.
No, he's not. He tries to be the contrarian and say, "Oh, I don't like them." They're spooky.
Give me bad dreams.
Do they give you bad dreams?
They can. Yeah, hell yeah. I got a wild imagination in my dreams, man.
Man, yeah. I don't get that from them.
No, I don't either.
I think I'm broken.
Do you dream a lot?
Normal. No.
I don't really dream a lot either.
See, I do. I dream a lot. I have a lot. I could take a nap for 10 minutes. I'm dreaming, man. I'm somewhere else.
Yeah. Man, I tried once upon a time. Yeah, to get that lucid dreaming, right? And
Lord.
I'm an idiot, right?
No, I tried that too. It failed miserably.
I failed miserably. I tried tracking all that shit. You know, they say, you know, you try to train yourself to, you know, sleep in chunks and then wake up and write down, you know, what you can remember, right? Because we always dream. We just forget.
Allegedly.
It.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
That's what I've heard too.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
And, you know, we go through cycles whenever we sleep. You know, cycles of that REM sleep, and we could have multiple dreams, you know, throughout the night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's, you know, guides online that you can look at, and it's supposed to, you know, train yourself so that, you know, you wake up, you write down what you can remember, and you train yourself to remember your dreams so that the chances of you having a lucid dream are more or greater. That's what I'm trying to say.
I've heard that there's actually, like, it's probably not true always, and I'm not going to bother to look it up. I don't care that much. This is just what I can vaguely remember, but it's, you know, the concept of we always dream. It's, I think there's something about it that if the one of the things they check for when you're going in for like a sleep study or like a neurological study where you have to sleep, mm-hmm. they check to see if your brain waves go into that pattern, mm-hmm. especially because there's certain studies where if you, like, sometimes it's just a one-off study, like if you're getting a CPAP, maybe you just go in once, right? But if they're doing like a deeper neurological study, maybe you go in several times over the course of a week or month, and if you consistently fail to get that dream pattern, I think it's like a red flag. Like, they're like, well, okay, there's probably something wrong here, because even if you don't remember them, it should happen.
Right.
Yeah. You get that delta wave, you get that REM sleep, all that good shit. I've had 2 or 3 sleep studies presently using the CPAP because I'm a big fella. Or, you know, I'm working on it.
Hey,
it's coming down.
Baby steps. Yeah.
Baby steps. I'm down 40 pounds.
Fuck, yes.
Good work. But, yeah, I mean, point is, though, I got to almost hit the 300 mark, and I was like, no, this can't be.
Yeah.
We gotta interject in here. But in the meantime, I was and still am on a CPAP, and did go do those sleep studies. They're interesting, and they can tell exactly how many times you went into REM sleep, exactly how many times you woke up or woke yourself up. They can see where you're snoring, all that good stuff. And I'm doing a lot better now. Put that on, especially because I also suffered from sleep paralysis, where you halfway wake up.
My wife has that exact.
It sucks,
bad.
Buddy. Yeah. Ooh, fucking baby. Sucks. Yeah, you. Let's see. How did they say it? It's like your body wakes up, but your brain doesn't, or vice versa.
Well, so you know why. So I can help a little with this.
It's that paralytic.
Your brain delivers. Yep.
Keep you from acting out your dreams. And it just keeps hitting you with that, even though you're awake. You've already been awake for a minute or something, but your brain is still dumping that hormone or whatever it is into your bloodstream, keeping your muscles paralyzed. And then there you are, paralyzed, but awake. And it also makes you see weird things. And
I think I read that there's something. So it's like you said, it's a hormone, right? Which is fucking wild. And it inhibits mm-hmm. the nerve impulses from going to those like skeletal muscles and stuff. So
yeah,
you can't move,
it just sends them to Dev Null.
Right, exactly. But there's something about it too, that there's a part of your brain, I'm not going to try to guess, I don't remember, I'm a neurologist. There's a part of your brain, though, that kind of gets shut off by that same hormone. And that's what, it's part of your conscious thought. I guess that's your prefrontal cortex, maybe. I don't remember. It's part of your conscious thought. And because it's still shut off, you're awake. You're obviously conscious, kind of. But because that one part's not turned on again, that's why you see things. Because not only can you not move, but that one, there's like a key part of your brain that says, you know, this shit ain't real, not real. And it's still asleep. It's hanging out. But you're awake and you're like, oh my God, what the fuck is
you'll
that?
Do things, you'll do things like you think you're screaming for help. You're not making a sound.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you think, like I've been sitting there and I can see my wife in the bed next to me. She'll be on her phone. And in my mind, I guess, or whatever, I'm like, please, please just shake me. Do something. Cough loud. I don't care. Help me, please. And nothing. I'm making no sound.
Maybe that's why you don't like horror movies.
Man, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's fine. I live enough horror.
Well, but you do like some of them. I mean,
some of them are all right. I did, going back to it, you did get me to watch Hellraiser, and I did laugh about it because it is 80s horror.
Oh, yeah. So very cheesy.
It's kind of like, lol, okay, all right. I see why they were thought this was scary, but compared to the shit we got now, it's like, oof.
Oh, did you watch the first one or the second one?
Yeah.
I watched one and two.
Oh, you watched one and two?
I did watch the second one. Yeah.
I felt like I did watch the second one. It kind of kicked it up a notch a little bit for me.
That's where they went down in there and they went and, you know, got to the heart of the matter.
I felt like the second one was more effect porn, like more gore and stuff. I kind of compare it to Alien versus Aliens. Like, Alien, like, there's only one xenomorph. It's like an hour until you fucking see the thing. They just build it over and over. Yeah. And obviously Hellraiser 1's not that extreme. You see the Cenobites fairly early. But it's more reserved.
Alien is more like atmospheric horror.
Yep. And I kind of feel the same way with Hellraiser. I mean, yeah, there were jump scares, or, you know, what was classified as jump scares back then. Yeah. But it was more about building the suspense.
People shit their pants back then if they seen what we do now. Like, just, you know, what was that? What was that one that it was just, they made it in somebody's house, and it was like the...
Oh, Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
They would fuck themselves.
They would just shit their pants back in 1986. They would have dropped that on them.
Dude, sure. I was thinking about It. I actually made the same... This came up the other day. I think I was talking to my wife or someone, and I made the same comment about, you know, people in the 70s and 80s with horror, because I think we were talking about Jason or Freddy, and if you showed them It now, or anything, a modern, doesn't matter, or Paranormal Activity, or any of that, it would be indecent. There'd be this uproar, oh, you can't do that, that's part of it, but it would also scare the fucking shit out of people. Just like if you take people from the 50s and show them Hellraiser, or show them Freddy, shit their Nightmare pants. On Elm Street. Just they're done. Fainting spells all over the theater.
Oh, yeah, they straight up fucking banned.
National outrage. Oh, yeah, it's got to go. It'd be in a
This
yeah,
is dude. Walter
all
Cronkite.
The sensibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. This is S&M.
Children watched Hellraiser.
S&M.
I remember one time, my childhood, I went over to a friend's house. And this friend and his family were very strict Christians. Mm. And so they were...
Are we talking like, sorry to interrupt, are we talking like fundies? Like fundamentalists? Or just like, just they go to a Baptist or Methodist church or whatever, but they're pretty strict.
It was pretty tight. Like, no...
So they used electricity. They used electricity. All right.
they used electricity.
We're going to have to come back to that problem.
They used electricity. You know, I'm pretty sure they probably believed all other religions were going straight to hell. Don't pass go, all that good stuff. Did not drink, you know, not a drop, none of that. Right.
Yeah. All right.
So I go over there. I'm pretty young. My parents were pretty, they're pretty liberal with what my sister and I watched on television. And I saw Hellraiser at a pretty young age. Anyway, so I go over to their house, and, you know, it's a sleepover, right? So I'm staying the night, and their dad comes in, and, you know, he brings a movie for us to watch. And it was, man, there was a movie with these aliens that came to Earth. And
Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
No, no, it wasn't like that. It was
Mars Attacks.
No, no, but the aliens looked similar to that. They were short. They had big heads, and it was pretty hokey. Man, I can't remember the name of it.
All right, Drive On.
Drive On. But anyways, so, you know, I'm like, have you guys seen Hellraiser? And there's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, Hellraiser. And they're like, our parents don't let us watch that kind of stuff. And that was the first time, and this is why it sticks out to me in my memory. That was the first time, like, I felt shamed.
Like, no, man, I'm like, we maybe can't watch that.
My parents aren't, you know, maybe they're a little too loose with what they show us. But, man, you know, so I was like, huh,
I had that.
Okay.
I've had that same kind of shame is a good, just a small interjection. Like, I felt that too. Like, I had a friend. A lot of my closer friends, we kind of were very alike, which is why you become close friends with somebody usually. And our parents were, you know, I got to watch a lot of stuff. Maybe some people would argue I shouldn't, but there were limits, obviously. But they would let me watch, sure, like scary movies and action movies and stuff,
yeah,
at a young age. And a lot of my friends were able to do the same, but there was one that wasn't. And I still remember his parents just shaming me and telling me I'm going to hell because I was talking, yeah, about Alien. Yeah. And I was like, oh, it's so cool, and it's just this big scary thing. And they're like, that's the devil's playground. And our son will not be following. Our son will not follow you to hell. And I just felt so sad. Like, Lord, I felt so sad. I was like,
follow you to hell?
Yes. Rough, yes.
Those were the words?
Yes, I remember it. Because I was like 7 years old. And I felt so, I was like, I don't know what I did wrong. And I told my mom and dad, of course, they flipped their shit. My dad basically laughed. He's like, they're fucking stupid. And my mom just,
they're stupid. Dad, get in here and watch an alien movie.
Dad's like, lol, they're idiots.
Yep. I remember my mom got so mad. Like, how dare they say that to you? Anyways, so yeah, I know exactly
follow
what
you
mean.
Hell.
Yep.
Oh, that is too good. I mean, I hate you went through that, but that's fucking hysterical now.
Oh, it is. It's funny as shit.
So, yeah. You say you haven't seen a lot of, you don't watch a lot of horror movies.
I don't seek them out. If somebody tells me, look, if Snow tells me, look, it's good, it's, you know, you can handle it, you know, then I'll take that on advisement and use my judgment. But I don't go, oh my God, I have to see all these horror movies.
Have you watched The Exorcist?
Oh yeah, the original. Yeah, I've seen, yeah, the original Exorcist. Okay, and you know what? That shit's spooky.
That shit's spooky. All right,
so let me contextualize then a little bit. The shit that with like we're gonna deal with demons, like, because I'm Christian, believe it or not, I'm the best example of the worst kind, but still, like, demons and, you know, satanic shit, like actual Satan, like, we're gonna be dealing with Satanism. It's like stuff like that. It's like, chill with that. I don't even like opening that door. I don't even want to see it. I don't have statues and shit in my house. I don't like idols. I don't, you know, I'm like no Buddhas, no nothing like that. I guess I'm kind of fundy like that. But
everybody needs a couple of Buddhas in their house.
No, Garden I don't Royals. Do statues. No, none of that. Closest thing I got to it are fucking, what are these? What are those things called? The little vinyls.
Oh, the Funko dolls. Pops?
Yeah, I got Funkos. That's as close as I'm getting to something like that.
Well,
nothing
else.
Statues.
Some people could argue that that is a idol.
Man, I'll burn them all. Don't test me.
I don't think that's fundy necessarily, though. No, I think that's just, you have a line.
It's a line. It's a line. And you go into, like, hey, you know, but sorry. So here's the exception. Right? Here's the exception that proves the rule. I love that idiotic, now canceled show, Supernatural. I fucking love that show. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I love the characters. Whatever. Mm-hmm. But I watched every season of it, beginning to end. I'm rewatching it now because I started rewatching it because it was Spooky October. And I was like, well, I can watch that. It's, you know, I know what's going to happen. No big deal. But it was so campy. Yeah. And just over the top and laughably silly that it was just like, you know, I'm not taking it serious. Now, like Paranormal Activity, I read the story on that and I'm like, that shit's evil. Somebody experienced this and somebody fucking wrote the shit down. This is FUBAR.
It's spooky, man. Like, it scared me the first time I saw it. Like, that was
It's literally a demon coming for a baby and it's like, oh, this is mine. It's like, woo, that's, I'm out. No. I'm cool, man.
Yeah, certain plots or I don't know what do you call that? I mean, certain types of horror are much scarier to me than others. Of course, and I'm sure I don't even know why I said it. That's kind of a given. I really like the existential horror. I've read most of H.P. Lovecraft's works and just some of the shit in there, and it's like, here's a good example. Here's an excellent example of this. Bird Box. Have you guys seen Bird Box?
Oh, that's the one where she got that blind on her face.
Yeah.
You can't look at it where they kill you.
Yeah. And
no, I didn't watch it.
Look, you see, the thing about that is you don't know what they look at.
Because they're dead. I guess that's what the cinematographers wanted to relay.
It's something that's so indescribable that just to lay eyes on it will cause you to kill yourself.
Wow, that's a very old concept.
Yeah, I like that. Old concept. Yeah, that's. I'm a big fan of the Lovecraft Cthulhu mythos and that universe. Yeah. And it is cool. It's interesting to think about something like that where they're described as like that. He purposely doesn't describe them. And when he gives descriptions, they're horrific and gruesome, but he makes it a point to say that these descriptions are simply the closest your puny little brain can come to rationalizing it. Like, and even though you're seeing it, this, it's not true. This is not what they actually look like. This is what your psyche, right before your psyche breaks and you spend the rest of your life drooling, this is the last thing you see.
That's an ancient concept, right? That goes back to old T right there. It's like, you can't look at God, it'll melt your face off and everything's dead. And that's it.
Yeah.
You even got to take your shoes off and walk backwards. Cause you know, if you turn your face towards it, it's going to get melted off. Sorry, can't help it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's that. And maybe, I don't know. I've never seen God or talked to him in real life, but you know, maybe that's the way things work over there. It's like, just too much power. You can, looking at it, just, you know, we'll melt your eyeballs out of the sockets. Deal with it. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a deep conversation, one we're not going to get into tonight, but there are some people who genuinely, and it's, I guess I understand why it would be considered sacrilegious. I don't intend it to be when I'm about to talk about it, but I can understand why it would be. There are some horror writers who, when they create like these cataclysmic type evils, right?
Yeah.
They intend it, like I've heard it said at least, you have to take it at their word, can't read their mind. But it's intended as, you know, this is how they view a god. Like, it's not about God. Obviously, they don't believe in the real one, or they say
not.
Right, yeah. But they view it as, maybe the Christian God isn't the thing, and maybe that's why bad things happen, that whole thing. Why do bad things happen to good people? There is a God, quote-unquote, but really, it's one of these cosmic horrors. And it's not evil, necessarily, and it's not good. It's the human... how we describe good and evil doesn't apply to it. It doesn't care. We are nothing to it. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But it does exist, and it's indescribable, and it exerts power over things just by existing. Which, that's the crazy thing. When you talk about things at this scale, like some of the Cthulhu monsters, again, I don't literally mean Cthulhu. I just mean the associated, like the elder gods, the dark ones or whatever. Yeah. Some of them, they're described as being, you know, so powerful that they exert their force and cause all these horrific things to happen by existing. They don't even want it to happen. They don't even think about it happening. Just the sheer fact that they exist.
By virtue of their existence.
Yes.
All this awful shit happens.
Like, isn't that so much more scary to you?
Oh, it's horrifying.
So, when we talk about things being more scary for some people than other things, right? So, I can easily see how someone would find something like, you know, Freddy Krueger more scary than cosmic horror. Because that's something more...
Well, it's tangible.
It's tangible.
It's going to chase you in your dreams and kill you in your dreams.
Right. Like, and then you die already, it's hard to have a scary dream about something that you can't even imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. No, my imagination is pretty wild.
Well,
you need to start writing books.
I'm telling you, dude. I've got a couple of ideas. No bullshit. I literally had one like 2 nights ago, and I was like, dude, that's a book. That's a fucking short story. Anyway.
Write it down. What's the worst that happens?
I'm a shit writer. That's what.
I never said you're gonna get published. I just said what's the worst that can happen.
It's just like, man, to add a little bit without giving anything away, because you don't know. I mean, these ideas may be worth millions. I don't fucking know. But like in my dream, the explainer will show up. You know who the explainer is, right? Like it's the person in the story that shows up and they kind of explain everything. You get all the they kind of unlock a lot. They kind of give you. It's a character in the story, but you know. They're called the explainer. So I'll have that fucking person show up in my dreams and explain what is happening, why it's happening, what the problem is, and what we need to do now.
Is it a man or a woman?
Usually male.
How many penises are shown when this man shows up?
They're always fully clothed. The ones where people are not clothed are different dreams altogether and not worth writing down. But
we're psychoanalyzing you. How many penises do you see when this man shows up?
I had one. He was a blind black guy, old blind black guy.
You're racist.
Well, I don't think so for that reason.
Okay, I was just trying to psychoanalyze you.
But it was bizarre. It was absolutely fucking bizarre. And I woke up and I was like, man, I'm writing. And I did write it down. I still got it. I still got that dream written down.
I mean, it's
this why it makes me. I'm like, man, be careful watching wild shit, wild horror movies. I'll get locked into some demonic. Yeah, we got to kill all the demons.
They're supposed to be fun, right? It's the same thing I say to people. I've said it on here, I think, on one of these podcasts, like talking about games, like people that feel the pressure to play games. Mm-hmm. It's about fun. If it's not fun, then don't do it. If horror movies aren't your thing, that's just as valid as people liking them. Don't fucking watch them.
Yeah. Fun. I have to have somebody I trust tell me, look, no, it's silly. It's fine. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I will say, other than that,
I won't watch them.
I have a jump scare limit. That's my thing. Like, and I'm just a pussy. So let's get that out of the way. But jump scares, I can appreciate them, but I'm not good at movies when there are a lot. And by a lot, so, I don't know. I mean, 30, 40. Well, they are, but even though I know they're going to happen, it's the part of the movie that bothers me the most, unless it's surrounded by something good, atmospheric, like a good atmospheric part, or it serves the story. It's like the reason I dislike It Part 2 versus It. Like, It had jump scares, but It Part 2, it seems like they just went, all right, however many jump scares we had, quadruple.
They really did. I have always thought that the first one of this new series was much better than the second one because of that.
Mm.
It is also, I guess, to be fair, to try not sound like I'm shitting on it too much just because I'm a pussy. The first part of the book is better. The children part of the book is better than the adult part.
Yeah.
I think it flows better. I think it makes more sense given the antagonist and how Pennywise operates. So it's not just the movie being worse, but I am going to put them on the hook and say I feel like they did try to just, oh, let's be scary. Let's do jump stuff. And it's just, I mean, Pennywise, there is jump stuff. That is part of the character. He embodies your worst fears. But mm-hmm. I think there's a lot you can do with him with the atmospheric kind of suspense horror we've been talking about. I think that's more where he shines.
Yeah. I felt like they should have tapped a little more of the mythos around it. Right?
Oh, Pennywise?
Yeah.
I haven't read the books.
It's just one book. Not books, just one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But no, it's okay. I just want you know it's worth it. It's long as fuck. I mean, I know you're a King fan too. His books are
well.
Long,
I did do the Dark Tower.
It is long. It's not that long. It's not as long as seven of them, but it's a long. It's over 1,000 pages on its own. It's long. The audiobook is super good though. The narrator is fucking amazing. So
she thick boy.
She thick. That's a thick one. That's like Moby Dick thick.
I think it's a much better book. It is. I mean, but you know, it's just my opinion.
Man, I remember watching. Dude, I remember this. I was at AIT, right? I was at AIT in the Army, and we got one of those weekends. I was one of those AITs where you're there for so fucking long. They eventually let you have a car and you can leave on the weekends. So
okay.
We got to leave on the weekend, you know, and buddies of mine, they were like, hey, let's go to the movies. Okay, let's go to the movies. We went to the movies, and they all went to go see 8 Mile. And I was like, hey, there's no fucking way I'm going to watch fucking 8 Mile. So I just kind of chilled out at the movie theater and, you know, talking to my girlfriend at the time. And I'm sitting there, and the theater, or the doors to the theater closest to me, all of a sudden, just behind them, I heard, wow, Lord Jesus, just screaming like something bad had happened in that theater. Boom, the doors fly open. And there is just a herd of women screaming and running, Lord Jesus, no, 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 no. And they are running for their lives out of this movie theater. And I'm just like looking at them like, what in the fuck am I seeing right now? And I don't see no one else come out. So I'm like, oh, they just got spooked. So I go in there and I go look at what movie they're watching, The Ring.
they couldn't take the creepy Japanese girl.
They were out, dude. They about broke that door off the hinges and run down a small child or two trying to get the hell away. They noped right out. They were no.
I mean, what do you think? Do you think they were confused about what they were seeing?
I don't know. All I know is they'd had enough.
They thought it was a rom-com.
I guess.
The Ring.
This is all going to turn out okay, right? And then she comes out of that fucking TV. Oh, Lord.
Thought it was like a Jennifer Lopez, Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, it was like seven The Ring. Of them. It was like seven or eight of them. And they just, The Ring. come screaming out of that theater, losing their shit.
Really?
Yes, it was the damnedest thing I'd ever seen in a movie.
I didn't really lose my shit with The Ring. I thought that it was, I mean, it was okay.
Take it or leave it. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
Well, whenever I actually watched it, it got my goat. I was like, ooh. That
now,
is
spooky. I will say the one part in that movie that always freaked me out the most is when the mother found her daughter in the closet, and you just see it for a split second.
Yeah,
you see it for a split
it's all
second.
Broke, slack jawed, and she's like, her head falls forward a little bit.
And I was just like, God.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, nope.
Fuck.
What happened?
Yeah. Right.
Like, so it's
go ahead.
That kind of horror, I was just going to say, because it's interesting to me, because we kind of compared and contrasted a few minutes ago with, you know, cosmic versus jump scare or whatever. One of the reasons I like, personally, Stephen King, talk about him for a second again with It, or, you know, he said he does a lot of horror, but we'll focus on It, is there's a type of horror where it's like monster horror, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like The Ring is an example too. It's a demon, kind of, whatever, possessed, whatever, yeah. But it's monster. It's just a monster. Or there's cosmic stuff, or there's existential dread. I think one of the reasons why he's so popular, Stephen King is, and why I like him so much, is he's one of the rare, by no means the only, but one of the rare authors that can successfully blend the monster horror. So like it's still about a monster, or fucking, you know, Randall Flagg from a lot of books he has.
Yeah,
right.
Being this bad guy. But he also, a lot of times in his books, humanity is the monster. And, oh, I'm 12 and this is deep. Oh, yeah, I get it. But it's still, the way that he blends it is really cool, because he does show, like in It, for example, the only reason Pennywise is able to get away with this shit and do what he does is because people fucking ignore the suffering of their neighbor. It happens. Yeah. All the fucking time, and he preys on it. He does manipulate them. There's some very obvious hinting that he can like make people not see stuff or look the other way. But King, in that book specifically, and in others, goes out of his way to say like Derry, Maine is rotten itself. Is it rotten because Pennywise is there? Sure. That's not making things better to have a cosmic clown there that fucking is devouring everyone. Right. He exists and thrives because the town itself is just fucking rotten.
Yeah.
And that resonates with me, at least, and I think a lot of other people, because it's like, yeah, monsters are scary, but you can kind of relate to that. You know, everyone's been ignored by someone, even if it's not been life or death or even maybe serious. You've needed something at some point in your life, and someone has ignored you, and they've been like, no, fuck you. Right? It's probably, well, maybe not happened to everyone. I imagine it has. It's happened to me plenty of times. And it kind of sticks with you, and it makes you even more scared if you're in that horror movie mode, because it's like, well, what if there was this thing and it was killing people, kids or adults or whatever? Who's, you know, if I told somebody that, no one's going to believe me. They're not going to come to my rescue. It it isolates you. It makes you feel more alone. And that's how horror movies work. If you don't feel alone, in my opinion, at least, if you do not feel isolated when you're watching or reading horror, it's not really working. And I don't mean isolated as in you have to be the only one there. Like, there can be people around you. I mean isolated in the sense that your camaraderie is broken completely. Like, it's every man for itself. Everyone is just on their own. And you're just, you know, you're fucked. You're like, well, all right, we're all going
to
die.
So do you mean, like, nothing is coming to your aid, physical or metaphysical?
I think, yeah, I get, maybe not. It's hard to talk in absolutes, because in the books, good horror books, a lot of times don't make it absolute, because one of the things that makes horror good is to give you hope and then dash it away, right? If from the get-go it's hopeless, it's kind of like you shoot your load too early, right? It's like, oh, everything's hopeless 2 minutes into this 8-hour movie or 8-hour book. Okay, I guess they're all gonna die.
Two minutes sex.
Right? Different podcast. All right.
Yep, sorry,
so, but if it starts out hopeless, but then you're coming back and you're given hope. You're like, there's this alliance formed, and it's like, we're gonna drive this monster from the town, or we're gonna band together and do this. And you're like, oh, all right, something's gonna happen. And then they fight the monster, and the lead guy is just eviscerated while the monster's laughing. And you're like, oh shit, we are fucked. We thought we were okay. We are not okay.
We thought
we're all
we had
gonna
him.
Fucking die.
That's a good take. That reminds me of The Mist.
See, I would love that movie, I like the movie personally. I would like the book or the movie better if they didn't have to have fucking phase shifting spiders that come out and spin the fuck. Oh, let's put spiders in everything.
That's
and,
your line.
I can't do it. Nah, panic attacks, unreasonable fear of spiders. Can't do it.
Oh man, fear's the mind killer.
Yeah, I know. No, I realize. It's that's what makes me mad the most, and that's what not to tangent on some phobias, but that's what just irritates me and makes me feel for people that have true phobias, because it's not about overcoming the fear, in my opinion, at least. If it's something you're afraid of, then yeah, it's good to work through that fear. You should try. It's healthy. But if it's a phobia, if it's, I guess, a true phobia, says the guy that's never taken a psychiatry class ever. But if it's something that you can't help, which is how I feel about spiders, right? It's not that I see them. They don't scare me the same way that a horror movie scares me, or that being alone scares me, or that a bad, like a fucking tornado siren. It's not the same fear. That's all like top level fear, right? Seeing a spider, to me, it just shuts me down. That's the best way I can describe it. It's like my brain just literally goes, nope, done. And it just fucking shuts off.
We're out.
And it's terrifying. And it's infuriating. It makes you mad. It makes me mad. Because you're like, you feel kind of worthless. You're like, what the fuck, man? This doesn't make any fucking sense. And then it's just, yeah. So, again, not the tangent. I feel for people that have phobias. It's,
Episode 8, we're going to discuss why snow is for spiders.
Yeah, we're gonna make me do, what's it called? Not aversion therapy, but the... where they make you do something
exposure
over and
therapy.
Over. Yeah,
exposure
that one.
Therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a good way to just have my heart explode. So definitely. People should do that.
Man, I do watch a lot of horror movies. I try to find horror movies that don't have a lot of exposure. And so I end up watching like a ton of just campy, like dumb shit.
Supernatural, know. Highly recommend it. Just go ahead and just do all 15 seasons.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I can get behind that. Like Army of Darkness, Evil Dead.
Oh, Evil Dead. Yeah, yeah.
I have seen
Evil Dead. And you know what? The first.
Hold on. All right.
Wait.
I'm not
the
saying
first Evil
horror.
Dead. Spooky. That was spooky. That got to be a little bit.
No, y'all jumped down my throat thinking I'm going to say something I'm not. I'm saying that it's not. I thought you were implying you like watching lesser known stuff, and you name drop Evil Dead, one of the most popular horror movies of all time.
No. Well, he brought that.
You were going to shit on me for it's like demonic, satanic shit. No. And I was like, well, okay, look, now I watched it. I didn't know.
It's creepy.
And it was fucking scary to me. I was like, woohoo, this is scary.
I was talking about campy stuff that. Yeah, I guess his Army of Darkness is very loosely tied to horror. Loosely, very loosely. It's more fun than anything, right? Evil Dead 2, a little bit closer to horror, but still campy, sure. But Bruce Campbell is one of the all-time greats. And he's actually going to be in a new movie, and for the life of me, can't remember Black Friday. That's what it's called. Black Friday.
Is it a remake? Because I'm pretty sure that is a... I've not seen it, but I think that's a slasher film from like the
80s. It may be a remake, but this is like a zombie type movie, which is right up his alley, and he plays like the... I think he's like the manager of the store, and they work in like a... It's kind of like a Kmart or a Walmart, and all the Black Friday customers rush in, and you know there's some zombies in the crowd, and so it just, you know, goes wild from there. But anyways,
so it's out. I thought you said it's coming.
No.
It is out already.
It's not out yet. I just saw a preview for it. It's one of my YouTube recommendations. But anyways, that's a tangent there. But I try to watch a lot of horror movies just because I like horror movies, and I try to check just kind of read the descriptions and kind of get a feel for it before I watch it, so I at least try not to waste my time whenever I do watch it, because I don't have a ton of time. I try to stay around like the existential stuff, and I do like watching, some like creature features type stuff, like Alien and Aliens. Those two are fantastic. Alien,
they're classics for a reason.
Alien being, it's just so good.
Honestly, I know it's probably gonna piss off the Hey, we almost hit 30 views, I think, on an episode. So thanks, guys. The 30 of you that hear this are probably going to be pissed off. Yeah, I actually think Aliens is better than Alien. Now, I can appreciate Alien for setting the bar, and I fucking love it. I have literally no complaints about it at all. No critiques. But I kind of think Aliens gives it a little bit of that campy feel and gives it some more action. And I like the crew, quote unquote, the Marine detachment. I like them better as characters than the Nostromo crew from Alien. I really don't give a shit about any of the fucking crew in Alien. I love watching them die. It's like, ah, you fucking idiot. There's no connection there at all. In Aliens, like, I like Corporal Hicks, pretty cool dude. I like Bill Paxton's character. I can't remember. Yeah. Most of them. Like, even the shitheads. They're like the Mad About You guy.
Mad About You guy.
great character.
God. What is that?
See, I don't know. I'm out of my element on the Alien stuff. I've watched like the originals with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Like
the
original. Is that Alien or Aliens?
She's in all of them. Well, so I'm sorry. She's not in the Alien versus Predator spinoffs, and she's not in Prometheus. But in all the quote unquote.
Oh, Prometheus sucked. Don't even at me. Prometheus was the worst fucking movie. I went and me and my brother went and watched that movie. And this is like a bonding thing for us because we both walked out of that movie and we looked at each other and we both had the same look on our face like, fucking really?
Try way too hard.
Yeah. We were like, hate it, but okay. Whatever.
Imagine the letdown. So let's go down this rabbit hole for a second. So Sigourney Weaver, real quick for the record, she's in the first four. Alien, Aliens, Alien 3, and Alien Resurrection. She's Ripley, right? She's the main character.
Yeah, all right.
So the ones that Ethan and I were just talking about were Alien, first one, obviously, and then Aliens. Those are the two. Alien 3 is kind of a cult classic. There's a noticeable drop-off in quality. I don't hate it. Alien Resurrection can go fucking suck a dick. It doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned.
But get it out of here. So, like monster stuff with like sci-fi monster, I'm cool with. I'm totally cool with.
Yeah. I
can handle that all day long. Drive on.
Oh, I was just going to say Prometheus was a disappointment to people of the franchise too. I mean, from what I've read and from my experience, because the engineer is what it talked about, right? And the engineer was like, shown literally in what, six frames in the first movie when you get a look at his shot, and he's dead, by the way. He looks like a skeleton fused to a chair, and you see him, but there's so this lore. And then the comics come out and there's this lore about, oh, the engineers, well, they're the ones that created the xenomorph, and they did it to sell as a weapon, and then they did, and you're like, oh my god, who are these badasses?
They created us fucking, allegedly.
That was a Prometheus thing, right?
Yeah.
They took the fucking trailer,
they were like, there. Like, the words, I'll never forget this. The big, giant fucking words in the trailer. There will be answers. No answers. Fuck you. You get nothing. You get more questions. Eat shit and die. Get out of my theater. That's pretty much what we ended up on. I was, livid. Living.
Well, I mean, what do you think, Ethan? Because you like the Alien franchise a lot. Are you kind of with me about the letdown of you thought you were going to actually see something about the engineers, and then it was just fucking garbage about, oh, this is how humans came to be?
Yeah, and I don't even think... Now, to take a step back, so I think that, you know, Alien 1 was, you know, a lot more atmospheric than Alien 2. And that, you know, the reason behind that is probably because it had two different directors. Alien 1 was Ridley Scott, and Aliens was James Cameron. And so, you know, and James Cameron did, like, Terminator 2, Titanic, Avatar.
He did the first Terminator, too.
Yeah. Oh, he did
Terminator
the first Terminator
as well. He did the first Terminator as well, sorry.
But, in Prometheus, I felt like the story was good. It wasn't great. I will say I am a Michael Fassbender fan, and I think that he did a really good job of playing David, and Noomi Rapace, I think that's how you say her name. And there were a couple of times that, you know, I felt like, oh man, this is great. And One of those times is when they cut the alien out of her belly. That was intense, yeah. And that was good. I'm behind that, but
yeah, that was cool.
I don't even think like the atmosphere was there. I don't think that it was there. There was no like sense of dread, you know, what's coming. There wasn't even like a wonder, you know, but I wasn't even that curious about things, you know. So it had a lot to be desired from my take. And, you know, especially like getting into the engineers, I felt like that was, you know, along with you guys, I felt like that was a letdown.
Yep.
And it just seemed like, okay, were they engineering these aliens or, you know, the xenomorphs? Because apparently they weren't. You have to remind me, the xenomorph shows up at the very end of the movie, right? Does it burst out of the engineer? Give it a refresh my memory.
I don't even remember, man. I put that movie out of my mind.
There's xenomorphs in these tanks, and so that's I'm not gonna argue with you because I don't remember enough, honestly. But that's, if what you're saying is true, that gives me another reason to hate it, because I don't know how much of the comics or graphic novels you read, if any, which, you know, it doesn't matter if you have or haven't. The engineers were the creators of the xenomorphs. Like they engineered them, they created them.
Well,
they
were, this they were this was almost this was almost accidental. It seemed like. Because they cut that thing out of her belly, and that thing ended up attaching itself to an engineer, which it was acting like, you know, the face huggers from Alien and Aliens, and, you know, all the other ones. But, you know, it was acting like that, and, you know, put this seed inside of his body, and it burst out, and it was a xenomorph. And then you get into the second Prometheus, and this is where David is creating these creatures. Creating
Wait,
these aliens?
Second? Like, there's a second one?
I don't understand. Yeah,
like,
you didn't
there's
watch
a second?
You didn't
oh,
watch
oh, you mean Alien Covenant. Oh, I thought you meant it was
I'm
called
sorry.
Prometheus 2,
I'm
and
sorry.
I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
yeah, no, I didn't like Covenant either.
I didn't either. I can tolerate the first one, and I probably won't watch it again, but the second one was just garbage. Alien Covenant. Garbage, in my opinion.
Yeah, maybe Covenant's what I'm thinking of at the end, where they show the different xenomorph. I don't know. I'm not gonna look it up right now.
In the first one, it just seemed like it was an after effect, right? It's like they created these squid like creatures or whatever, because the weird thing is, it seemed like that substance that they had in those jars in Prometheus produced some different things, right? Like it produced
the essence of life. It was pretty right, that's how right. I took it,
so
at least.
It's
pretty heavy-handed.
Yeah, it's
Deus Ex Machina stuff.
Yeah, so it could, you know, it could take any multiple forms and shapes of different creatures, what have you. So they didn't really know what was going to happen. And it's not like they engineered the xenomorph. They just had this, you know, essence. And, you know, they're just like, oh, okay, if we drop this shit off, it's going to do some really fucked up shit. And it'll probably wipe out the planet, which is fair. But it's not fair to say that they engineered the xenomorph.
So I looked it up. I did decide to, and I'm wrong. It's I'm half right. So David officially, and this is the official canon, for whatever that's worth, for this fucking franchise that they've killed. The official canon was that David created the first xenomorph by taking the black goo. That's the elixir of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Taking the black goo and using it on an unidentified creature to make it into that weird ass big face hugger. Cause to your point, it wasn't a traditional face hugger. It was much bigger.
Yeah.
Right. And that bonding with the engineer is what created the first xenomorph. So technically, the engineer created it in the sense that their DNA with the black goo with this creature made the xenomorph, but it was David, like you're saying, that was like the I'm not going to say it was his idea, because I don't know that you could say he intended for it to happen, right? He has no idea.
It's not intentional, right?
Right. But you're right. He did. He was the creator. It was not the engineers. So what reminded me, or what I found out that's confusing as well, I'd forgotten until now, is there's a different, an entirely different canon explanation for the xenomorphs if you just look at the Predator universe and look at that in a vacuum. Because there is literally in that canon, in that universe, the Predators created the xenomorphs, and they created them to be like the perfect enemy, the perfect hunt, right? So they had gone through the universes, the galaxies, whatever. They had no equal. They hunted things. They killed them. They didn't like decimate worlds. They were very honorable, but they hunted things and they never had a challenge. And so they're like, well, fuck this. We want a challenge. And blah, 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 and created the xenomorphs and then went, oh, shit, we did too good.
So it's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it is. So. And I think if I remember right, like the Predators, it's like you said, they made them or... I don't know if they made them or they found them, because
what I just read was again, it's hard to say it's official canon because it directly contradicts the canon of the species. But it said they genetically engineered them, they made them.
Ah, okay, yeah. So that's my whole problem with Alien versus Predator anyway, because it's like aliens are just like a mindless animal breeding and eating. Whereas like Predators are, you know, it's a civilization. They have a culture and it's a thing. And, you know, they got a whole warrior class and all that. And it's cool.
Yeah.
And I'm way more Predator fan than Alien.
That's an interesting point. Why do the xenomorphs hunt and kill people?
It's purely for they don't, so they don't hunt them. It's for food and reproduction. Like, they don't hunt in the sense
they
of...
Animals. They
don't. Yeah, they don't care. They don't want to kill you because they don't like you or because they want to spoof you or scare you. They kill you because they want to reproduce.
I've never seen them eat.
Well, so I was about to say that. In most cases, they don't. If there's a queen nearby... Because there's a whole fucking article on this. You can just deep dive on a wiki about them. But their metabolism, apparently... is both fast and slow, which fucking Hollywood magic. It's fast.
The metabolism of a xenomorph. Let's go.
Well, it's fast in the sense that they mature from a chestburster, right? Sure. From when they spawn as a chestburster. Yeah. They can mature from that to full adult in like a month, I think, is what it says in the comics or the wiki. That's like a month. So that's fast as fuck. However, they don't need that much food to survive once they mature. They take their victims, they cocoon them with their saliva, because apparently their saliva can create this unobtainium that is hard as fuck, and they
well, it's acid, or no, it's not acid, is
no, their blood's acid. Their blood
that's
is
right.
acid.
That's right.
But their saliva, they can use it to cocoon them, and they feed them to the queen. The queen eats, and the queen shits out all the eggs that have the facehuggers in them, and their whole ordeal is just to reproduce. That's their single goal. They're like ants.
They're cockroaches. They're interstellar cockroaches. The predators are the exterminators, man. They're just trying to clean it up with style.
I do agree the predators are badass. I think it's a cool fight though, because in my you have these, like you said, honor-bound warriors who in certain situations, like, I like the, it's a hand-wavy Deus Ex Machina thing, I guess, but it's kind of cool in a way that, you know, explaining, well, how come Predators, when they're fighting Marines from, like, Weyland-Yutani, the company that wants the aliens, how come they sometimes, you know, barely beat these Marines, but they can single-handedly decimate a xenomorph, and the Predators actually, like, lower themselves to the abilities of the people they're fighting.
They handicap themselves?
Yeah, because they want it to be an honorable fight. They're fighting these people and they're like, oh, bless
man,
your
you just
heart,
make
you're
me
retarded.
Love Predators that much more.
I know. Well, just imagine they're sitting there like, oh, he's retarded. Okay, turn off the shoulder cannon. No, we don't need, no, right. We'll turn it
but
off.
You know, you can only use the shoulder cannon if they fuck up your camo, your active camo. And then you can use it.
Did y'all watch the Alien versus Predator?
Yes. I've seen all the Aliens Predators movies.
As a movie, it's absolute dog shit. The only reason I liked it at all was there was some cool scenes of them fighting, and it was cool to see like the predators fighting all out against, because xenomorphs kind of are the perfect killing machine. Like they're fucking good at what they do. They're one thing, like killing something or cocooning it for the queen to eat. Like they're purpose built to do a job, and they do that job very well. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
I don't like that they made the predator so fucking bulky.
That was kind of weird. Like they're like bros. Like it was weird.
Yeah. They're what? Like they just like heavy or slow or
heavy, yeah, slow, the whole the thing.
Way, yeah, their gait was really weird, because in the comics especially, they're always like they're live. They're like otter mode. Like they're muscular, but it's like skinny muscle. And they're always super, like they're gymnasts basically. They're so dexterous. Yeah. They're so athletic.
Crazy athletic.
Yeah. Because all they do their whole life, like from being born, it's like Spartans to the extreme.
Yeah. They train and fight and kill. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And there's no holding back. If you're training against your best friend as a kid or whatever, you're going to fucking die if you don't try your best. It's tough shit. You died. You weren't a warrior. Next, please.
Oh, well.
So it's to take.
Maybe
to
it was
that,
like a throwback to the original Predator where, I mean, the guy that played the original Predator was massive. He was a fucking giant compared to Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger is big, yeah, but he's like what, 5'9", 5'10"? He's not a tall person. He's huge, like muscularly, he's huge, but he's not a tall, broad, giant type person.
Right, and that's how these predators in Alien versus Predator was. Like the alien, the predators in Alien versus Predators. I don't see them, you know, jumping around on fucking tree branches and shit.
Oh.
You know.
I seen the Predator. What was the last one? Predators?
Predators, yeah.
I think that was the last one. I loved that one. I thought that one was, you know, autistic kid being the, you know, next step in evolution aside. I thought it was fucking fantastic. I was like, yep, this is pretty good. It was the right level of campy for me.
Okay. I haven't seen it. So was it was like over the top and like shit that, you know.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little bit. And there was I'm going to spoil it. There was like a plot twist. They think, you know, they think these, what is it? Was it the, you know, they think the aliens are coming for, the predator's coming for this certain person. Turns out they were wrong and it wasn't this big warrior person. Oh, it's coming after the autistic kid who can barely tie his shoes
because he's the next step.
Yeah,
he's the next step in
evolution. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, those guys, love them to death. Got a couple in the family, but you know, release them into the wild to their own designs, probably not going to fare so well,
right? Much less against this shit.
Just saying. I mean, hot take, I guess, but.
But how many people are going to. Okay, never mind. Episode 8, autism.
No, hold on. Before we get completely removed from the platform, we talked about monster horror a little bit. I want to kind of bring us back, maybe wrap us up a little bit.
Let's bring it back. We got off on a tangent.
We talked about. No, it was awesome. I fucking love aliens and predators. Fucking fuck everyone who disagrees. So, talked about monster horror a little bit, existential cosmic horror. What about just straight up, like, ghost horror? I don't mean demons. We already know.
I still...
anything like paranormal?
I'll paint broad strokes with what I mean. I mean, so not demons. If it's demonic, that's off the table. Not possession. Okay. Because we'll consider that demonic, but I don't know, ghosts. I'm trying to think of an example right now. I guess you could.
Patrick
other than
Swayze,
the actual. Yeah, that's yeah. The Potter.
Man, that was scary shit.
That's
when I was
the one
young.
That really scares me.
Yeah,
he's dragging that dude's soul to hell.
He's a ghost.
Are you kidding me? That was scary as hell.
I wish you would have done that more in the movie.
Patrick Swayze going ooh,
get the key. don't make the bowl out of pottery clay.
I wonder why. No. I guess what I'm trying to say with this is I wonder why it doesn't seem like it does as well as a genre, because now that I'm thinking about it, I thought I could come up with some examples, because this was just off the cuff.
Good ghost movies,
but they're not demon or possession. And I'm sitting here thinking, and I'm like, no, most of these examples in my head,
it's always,
that I'm thinking
it's always
of
because
demonic.
Why though? It's always why the ghost there though? And you have to go
Indian
back
burial
to some
ground or some stupid shit.
Yeah, you have to go back to some. It's like, you can't, if it's just for the fuck of it, it's like, well, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, and, agreed.
You know, only Supernatural can get away with that.
There's always some backstory, some riddle for the protagonist to figure out and release the ghost from their torment of being on this fucking earth or whatever.
Dude, that is like half of Supernatural's episodes. It's hilarious.
Episode 8 will not be about autism. It will be about Supernatural, and it will be carried by D. D alone will carry episode 8.
Yep. I'm not even going to say. All I'm going to do is say, yep. No, that sounds good.
Okay. Sorry, don't at me, folks.
I can't think of any, actually. Yeah. The only ones
that are even close are demonic. I guess that strikes a more visceral chord with people. Like, even if you're not religious, like that idea of this, you know, it's still like you can think about it as a ghost in very simple terms, but it's evil, or it can possess you, or it's, you know.
It's so, the Ring. The Ring is like a ghost movie, right?
I guess that's probably the closest I could think of, honestly.
Yeah, it's a vengeful spirit. That's what Supernatural would classify that one as. It's a vengeful spirit. Yeah. You know, it's something that it was held. It didn't cross over when it died, and it hung around for revenge. And then slowly over time, it became more powerful and more powerful. See, and that's the other thing they do with Supernatural is pretty cool. It's like they incorporate like all the gods from all theologies almost. And the only reason they're not the strongest or they don't have as much power as they do is because the user base isn't as wide, right? There's not as many people believing in, because believing in a god is what gives the god power.
Now that's an interesting concept. That's been used in other movies, that gods get power because you pray to them or because you believe in them.
That's been used in religions throughout the centuries.
like I said, it's not original, but they did incorporate it, and that's what I thought it was cool. But because they deal with a lot of stuff, they it's no holds barred on that show.
Yeah. I think I kind of set myself up to the shittiest ending to this episode possible. I really thought I could think of something.
Can't think of any good ghost movie that doesn't come out of Asia.
Ghost movies?
Yeah, it's.
I mean, what was the one when they're all in the woods and it's just a
Cabin in the Woods? Yeah.
Well, kind of, I guess.
Some of those more like a.
Oh,
I was thinking Blair Witch. Yeah.
That's a probably witch. Yeah, but I think there were some religious overtones there, cult overtones. So you would probably say more, not demonic necessarily, but not straight up ghost either. I guess I don't think it exists. Or it's rare. Sorry, rare. I mean,
there's got to be a reason for the ghost. There's got to be a point. And just be ghost because ghost.
Well, I hope everyone sleeps horribly tonight. I hope when you're listening to this, you have many bad dreams. funny story to peel back the curtain a little bit. I don't think we've done this before. We're in our mega mansion recording this, all of us, and we're talking. You know, we like to warm up before our adoring crowds before we hit record. And we were kind of tonight. We're going to talk about Dark Tower, which is one of my favorite fucking anything of all time. That's the series by Stephen King. But we're kind of talking about horror movies and just said, hey. Yeah, let's talk about horror movies. And so there you go. That's how the sausage is made. There's that much thought put into this show.
Sometimes you just got to go with the flow, baby.
Yeah. So there you have it. A look inside the sausage factory.
We're talking about penises again. We're profiling you now,
me.
I guess.
I didn't say anything about me. You brought up penis.
Oh,
buddy.
I guess we're profiling. And on that note, it's been great. Thank you, Ethan. Thank you, D.
We'll talk about Dark Tower next week.
Yep. All right, y'all.
Follow us Instagram, Twitter, Gab, but we're on Spotify. Okay. Fuck,
Reddit us, profiles. God. Stalk us on our Reddit subreddit.
Just listen. Do it on the TikToks. I want to hit 30. Yeah, I'm gonna start doing TikToks in my underwear. If I can get some more listens.
God help us.
If I can get some more listens. That's all I want.
All right. That's all I care all about. Right.
Thanks for listening. Have a good night. You guys have a good night. Bye.
Later.